Today on LSE Share Talk, we have Dan Betts, who's the CEO of Hummingbird Resources. He's taken the company from being an explorer to developing the gold mining industry with two big assets in West Africa. So how are you, Dan?
Very well, thanks.
That's good. You've you released your corporate presentation today, and this includes updates of those two assets. Do you want to go through, should we start with Mali?
Yeah, sure. So the presentation today just has the new numbers from the definitive feasibility study and the new mine plan for the Yanfolila project. And it shows material improvements in those numbers, which is obviously what we're excited about. The economics on the Yanfolila mine are based just on the first two pits. And the other thing that's important to note is there's another 1 million ounces that sits outside of those pits. So, whilst we think it's probably one of the most economically robust and high margin undeveloped gold mines in Africa, there's also an awful lot of upside that's already proven. And a lot of companies sort of say, oh, there's a good exploration potential, we can find more gold and we'll extend the mine life. We know we have an extra 1 million ounces of gold already in resources around the mine that's going to be built at Yanfolila. And I say that because the numbers are so good, everyone always looks for the weak point. The weak point is it's an only an 8 year mine life, but it will extend for many years beyond that. And I think the numbers, just to give you the headline numbers, I mean, I'm not sure what the gold price is now because obviously it's been pretty active in the last month or so, but at sort of 1250 gold, which I think is lower than it is today, you're talking of an IRR of sort of over 50%, I think it's 54%, and generating, for me, the most important number is that you'll be generating sort of free cash in the region of $70 to $75 million in year one. So on a project with a capex of only $80 million, it's extremely robust.
It's a very good return, certainly for the first year.
Yeah.
For the first gold pour, you're saying that you're targeting that for 2017.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, basically, the build time in the DFS is 16 months. Three of those are final detailed engineering that's always required, once you commit to construction. We've already done some preliminary earthworks, and I think the actual build time is 12 months within that 16-month window. So really, I mean, it's 16 months from when we press go, and we will press go as soon as we can, just as soon as we finalize financing arrangements with our lead lender and others.
Okay, so that's underway at the moment then.
The financing is underway at the moment. Is that the question?
That's the question, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the only piece of the jigsaw now to solve before we commence construction.
Okay, that's quite promising then. Certainly a good story unfolding there. With Mali, it's more than just one area that you've got that you're looking at. You've actually looking at exploring a bit more, and there's more opportunity available.
Yeah, sure. When we acquired the project, I mean, it was the Yanfolila project that we were focused on because we were focusing on getting into cash flow and building a gold mining company. But we acquired the asset from Gold Fields, which was a major gold mining company, and they were exiting Mali for their own strategic reasons. And it came with a very promising portfolio of other exploration licenses, which have targets they've drilled. And, when money notwithstanding, it's high on our agenda to develop those assets as well and make further discoveries in Mali, as well as, of course, our project in Liberia.
Certainly. So you've got growth that you're expecting. Even after 2017, you'll be expanding more and looking into the exploration rights.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, in terms of growth, I mean, what Hummingbird's got that is pretty unique is we have a 4.5 million ounce gold deposit in Liberia, which we've done a PFS on. And it's sitting there ready to go. And if I just sort of recap a bit of the history, I mean,
Sure.
we found this gold deposit. It's a very large project. It's going to need a lot of capital. And at 1300 gold, it's got a almost $200 million NPV, and it had a sort of IRR of 29%. And it was great, but the gold price was going down. The stock market was crashing ahead of that, and Hummingbird's market cap was getting crunched. So we were thinking, how are we going to fund this thing? That was what drove us to look for a higher margin project like Yanfolila. And as a result, the value in Liberia has been forgotten about. It's just lying dormant as a sort of secret project, really, at the moment. But gold's going up. I mean, we're almost at $1,300 again, and we have a 4.5 million ounce project. very, very developed in terms of our understanding of the resources and the durability of the project, and it's basically a free option on the gold price at the moment. So in terms of growth, we've got it there.
So that's sort of the back burner at the moment, then, Liberia. So in some way, you could say with Mali, you're actually using that to get the money to invest into Liberia.
Yeah, I mean that's right. I mean whether we actually use the cash flows from the mine in Mali to build the project in Liberia, who knows? Because I mean that that's gonna you need a horoscope to look that far into the future. But there's no doubt that being a producer and having a cash generative mine in Mali will give us more optionality to develop the mine in Liberia. I mean apart from anything else, it'll be easier to borrow debt because we'll have an asset that's producing cash to lend against.
Okay, so aside from the finances and having that in place and going from the get-go and starting, what are the other challenges that you're going to be looking at coming across? What hurdles are there working in West Africa?
Well, there's plenty. I mean, let's be honest. It's a challenging environment. But I mean, I'm sure you all saw the news end of last year about the sort of the hotel in Bamako in Mali.
Yes.
I mean, stuff like that's pretty difficult. And the challenge is really the perception more than the reality. I mean, these things happen all over the place, Paris, London, wherever. But you look at it on the news, and everyone writes off a whole country. So, investor perception of risk is a very, very powerful thing, and that's a challenge. On the ground operationally, obviously it means we need to be vigilant and careful, but we've always done that. Our operations teams have always been ex-British military guys running the operations on the ground. And I mean, let's face it, building a gold mine is a big challenge, big logistical challenge. You've got to bring stuff in from all over the world, tight budgets, got to construct it in a remote area, supply fuel, food, all the rest of it. But there's nothing that hasn't been done before. And Mali is a very proven mining jurisdiction, very flat and benign landscape. You're not going to be, knocked off course by altitude or mountains or jungle
Sure.
or too much water. So, it's just about being organized and having the right team to do it.
And you do actually have a good team behind you. You've got a few other companies helped you with the project management and the actual mining itself.
Yeah, and I mean, the market is such at the moment that these guys are really, really keen for work. I mean, there are not many people building projects. So, the guys we've had doing the DFS, whether it be Schlumberger or DRA or Senet or all these guys are very, very keen to get involved in the project and put their back to it. I mean, financially as well. I mean, the indications we're getting is they actually want to be involved in the project, which would help give tremendous confidence to the investor on the street that, the guys in the know who know this project better than anyone, they really want to be involved in owning it and building it.
Absolutely. And I mean, in terms of obviously with the work that's going on in the projects, you're also committed to helping out the communities.
Sure. So basically, we inherited a very developed community relation program with market gardens, teaching building skills, building schools, sanitation programs, hygiene programs from Gold Fields, and we've obviously carried that on. I mean, it's the best way to have a happy workforce and work safely within your community is to engage them.
Oh, absolutely. And it's positive to see a company that's not just obviously trying to profit from Africa, it's actually trying to help at the same time. You don't get that with some companies.
Well, yeah, you sort of you do and you don't. I mean, at the end of the day, my strong belief is what is written in your mining agreement with the government is only paper. If you don't have the goodwill of the communities where you're working in these remote locations, you haven't got a business because any given day they'll just up sticks and cause you trouble. So I think it's good to be seen in that light. But actually, it's a necessity. I mean, I just don't think it would work in this day and age if you weren't like that.
I guess the question I'd have to ask for people that are now looking to invest in gold is I mean, what's appealing about Hummingbird as opposed to other junior mining companies or other mining companies? What's the biggest appeal besides obviously the low cost, high grade?
Well, I think there's lots. I mean, where do I start? It's extremely undervalued, and the reason is because the market perceives we haven't got the funding resolved yet, which we almost due and we're very close to. As soon as that's resolved, it has to re-rate. And then you look at simply the economics. I mean, a company with a market cap of $30 million that's going to produce 80 of free cash, give or take, 75, I think, in first year, you've got massive gearing into the gold price. So if you're a gold bull, and there are more of them appearing at the moment, every $10 on the gold price is another $1 million of free cash straight onto your bottom line for Hummingbird. So yeah, rather than just going up $10 on your Kruger and under the bed, you're going to have a material impact on the share price.
And it's quite true. I mean, gold has risen, certainly the last recent months. So in other industries, the oil and gas industries have suffered quite dramatically. And a lot of people are trying to put their money into a safer bet. And gold's usually the appealing one to do that with. I think you've given a good answer in why people should actually look at putting their money behind Hummingbird.
Well, and the other thing is, there are not many projects that are fully licensed, DFS done, ready to go. I mean, not far from cash flow.
No, absolutely. So it's less of a risk then, you would say.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, that's good. Apart from the funding then, for the next quarter, what's the first sort of immediate highlights we can expect? So we would have the funding, and then, I don't know, what are they going to be looking for? What's the next RNS that they're expecting?
Well, so, I mean, we're still continuing to do sort of optimization studies on the power and things in Liberia. And on the Mali project, as you say, funding's a key focus at the moment to get that resolved and mobilization. I mean, let's get building this thing.
Well, you certainly sound energetic about it. How often do you spend your time on site? How do you spread yourself between Africa and the UK?
Do you know, it's a great question and there's no answer. I do what needs to be done, which at some points it means I'm back and forth to Africa a lot, and particularly that's government liaison licensing stuff, and other times I'm in America or Europe or seeing investors and that side of things. It just depends what needs to be done, and I mean, as we start to mobilize on the ground in Mali, I'll be there more. At the moment, of course, I'm here more wrapping up the finance side of things.
Yeah, I mean, certainly with the weather we've had recently, I'd be quite happy to be sat on site watching things progress there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, a bit of a suntan and rather than rain.
Absolutely. Okay, well, thanks, Dan. I think the presentation's there. It's available. Obviously, we've got your website and our website where you can have a look at the brochure that's there for anyone. But it's quite promising by the sounds of it. I mean, you do come across like you are raring to go and you just want to get the funding sorted.
Well, that's because that's where we're at.
Yeah.
No. Thanks very much for your time.
No problem. Thanks very much, Dan.
Cheers, bye.
Cheers.